Today we are going to try to finish Be'ezus Hashem, the 8th parak of Maseches Brachos. So we are holding on the top of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the very top. Bein Varach Nel Ner Ad She Osu. So we had said that you're only allowed to say a bracha on the Ner when you get benefit from the Ner, when you're able to enjoy the light of the Ner. Amar Avidom Rav, Lo Ye Osu Ye Osu Mamish. Doesn't mean you actually have to be close enough to the Ner to get benefit from it. Ela Kol She'ilu Omid Bekarov V'Mishlamish La'ora. If you were close enough, it's providing the kind of light and a sufficient amount of light that you would have been able to get benefit from it, even though you may be all the way in the back of a room and you may not be getting anything from it. Still, that's good enough. You can still say a bracha. So you're on a Shabbaton with 300 people, and only the people in the front who are like shuckling with Rabbi Cohen are going to be able to actually benefit from the light. But you're all the way in the back, sitting there doing nothing. So you could still say the bracha or be able to the bracha. Chayin Amar Ravashi. Baruchu Gmakom Shanin. Ravashi agrees. You could be at a distance from the Ner. May say the Gemara says, really, is that true? You could be at a distance from the Ner. Hay salon Ner Timuna Bechiko. Oh Bipanos. Oh Sharoa Shal Heves. Velo Nishtamish La Ora. Oh Nishtamish La Ora Velo Ra Shal Heves. In any of these four cases, either you have a Ner hidden away in your shirt pocket or something. You have a Ner that's in a glass. That's by the way, the source for the discussions about a light bulb, whether you're allowed to say a bracha on a light bulb, because isn't it, after all, a fire, a ner, that's inside of a glass? Or you have a shalhev, right, no, we're talking about the old light bulb. Or you see the flame, but you're not able to use the light. Or you're using the light, but you can't see the flame. In all of those cases, Eino mevarich ad sheyir shalavas yishamish la'ora. You don't say bracha, you need to both see the flame and use the flame. So, says Gemara, what does that mean? See the flame and use the flame? Bishlam mishlamish la'ora v'lo ra'a shalhaves. I could imagine a case where you're using the light, but you can't see the flame. You know how you have that? Mishkachas adekayma b'keren zavis. For example, imagine you're in your room at home, and you have a closet off, a closet in your room that has a light on in the closet, or a bathroom off of the room that has a light on in the bathroom. You open the door to the bathroom, the closet, the hallway, somewhere that there's a light. The light comes pouring into your room. You don't see the light bulb. The light bulb is in the other room. You don't see it, but you are benefiting from the light that it is providing. So that could be a case where you're benefiting from the light, but you don't see the flame. But how do you imagine a case where you see the flame, but you're not able to benefit from the light? How does that ever happen? The only case we can imagine where that happens is that you are some distance away from the flame, and that's why you're not able to use the light. And what are we saying over here? Can't say a bracha on that. If you're able to see the flame, but you're too far away to use the light, you cannot say a bracha. Doesn't that fly in the face of what Rabbi Yehuda Rav said? That you don't need to be so close. You don't need to be able to use the flame. So says Mar Lo, Kigon Da Amya Va'azla. If you're far away, you can say a bracha. You know what the case is where you see the flame but can't use it? It's so bad, it's not a flame that you're too far away to use. It's a flame that's unusable for light. What makes it unusable for light? It's flickering. You know, it's harder to see with a flickering flame than it is with no flame. Because with no flame, your eyes will adjust to the darkness at a certain point. But if your eyes need to constantly adjust to light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, you cannot see anything. So an unusable flame is no good. This is about benefiting from the flame. That the Chanukah candles are not to be benefited from, right?
Yes, so you can see the flame, but can't benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, but you can see the flame, but you can't benefit from it.
Right, so this would be kosher for Chanukah candles.
No, I'm just saying that's an example.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's halachah can. We're saying that physically you can't. Tanu Rabbanan, gecholim loch shos mevarchen aleim. If you have coals that are simmering, you have coals that are red hot, you could say a bracha on those as well. That has a din of a fire. Omimos ein mevarchen aleim. But if the coals are
white,
yeah, they're like dying, they're muted, then you can. They're dull. Then you cannot say a bracha. Hey chidami lochshos. What does it mean, sizzling coals? Amar Rav Chisda, here's how hot it has to be. Kol shi l'maklis tokum kisim v'dulak smela. If you would take a little splinter of wood, a little match, and put it on that coal, if it would light up from the heat of that coal, then you know that it's hot enough to say a bracha on it. Iboy lehu. Omimos with an aleph, omimos with an ayin. How do we, what's the word that we're using to describe the dull coals? We know it's supposed to be omamos, but is it with an aleph or with an ayin? So Tashma, Dam Rav Chista Bar Avdimi, Rav Chista Bar Avdimi says, well, we find that in Tanakh, the Pasuk describes Arazim lo amamuhu began elkim with an ayin. So it must be ayin. Now, says Gemara, even though up until this point we quoted the Shita of Rabbi Yudah Merav that said that you're allowed to be far enough away from the candle that you can't actually benefit from the candle, and it's still fine. That is not agreed upon by everybody. V'Rava Amar, Ye'osu Mamish. Rava says, you want to say Bari Morei Ha'esh, you need to be close enough to actually benefit from the candle. V'Kama, how much light does it have to provide you with in order to say the bracha? Enough light that you should be able to tell the difference between two coins. If you have two coins and you held them up to the light, would you be able to tell the difference between the images on the two coins? Only if your Havdalah candle provides you with that amount of light can you say a bracha on it. But here's the problem. How do you know if it's providing you with that amount of light? Most people on Motzei Shabbos, when they're saying Havdalah, you know what they don't have in their pockets? Coins. Why don't they have coins in their pockets? Because it was just Shabbos. So what do you do? So you know what you almost always have on you? Your fingers. So we use, as the Rush points out, we use our fingers to tell them in our fingertips and our fingernails, because that's roughly the same amount of light that you would need to tell the difference between the images on two coins, and fingers are much more available to people in Motzei Shabbos than coins are.
Not
so that's
JPP necessarily.
Right, but for most of us, yeah, for those who don't play with fireworks. Chizkia Amar, Kidei Sheyakir Ben Maluzma Shel Tveria LeMaluzma Shel Tzipori. You have to be close enough to be able to tell, it has to provide enough light to be able to tell the difference between a weight that they would use in Tveria and a certain weight that they would use in Tzipori. Rav Yehuda Mevarich Adbei Ada Daila. Rav Yehuda would say a bracha when the flames were on in the house of Abba Daila. Meaning, not even in his own house. He'd see the flames go on across the street, he would say a bracha on it. Can he get any benefit from those flames? No, he was way too far. But still, Rabbi Yehuda held, that's okay. Rava, Mevarich Adbei Gurya Bar Chama. Rava would say a bracha on the flame by Gurya Bar Chama. But wait, isn't Rava the one who told us, Ye Osu Mamish, that you have to actually, directly benefit from the flame? How could he say a bracha on a flame that was across the street? One of the achronim in the back of the Gemara suggests that the girsa must be mistaken over here. This should be the Mara Kohen writes that from the Balamor, from the Rashba, it appears that the girsa should be Rabba. That Rabba said the bracha on a ner that was across the street, because Rava would not have said the bracha. Yes. Rav Yehuda Mevarich Adbei Abba Daila. Rav Yehuda would say a bracha on the flame of Abba Daila. I just read that. Abaye Mevarich Adbei Baravua. Am Rav Yehuda Merav. Ein Mechazrin Ala Or Kederuk She Mechazrin Al Mitzvos. You don't have to go crazy looking for a candle. If you can't find the Avdol candle on Motzei Shabbos, no big deal. It's not like a mitzvah where you have to go crazy to be able to do the mitzvah. You have to go looking all over the place to be able to do the mitzvah. Not so by a ner, which is very interesting. The Achronim discuss, the Rishonim actually discuss. So what kind of bracha is this exactly? Meaning, it's not a mitzvah, apparently, because if it were a mitzvah, then you'd have to look for it. What kind of bracha is it then? If it's not a birchas hanen, it's a birchas hanen, and says the Rush, that would be a great idea. The problem is, how many, you know, when you, let's say you eat an apple a day, you try to keep the doctor away. How often would you say a bracha on that apple?
Once a day,
right? Let's say you use fire every day. You benefit from light of fire every day. How often do you say the bracha? Once a week. So what's going on? It doesn't sound like a birchas hanen either. So he says, this is a bracha that's a zecher. It's a bracha that's a zecher to the creation of fire. It's its own kind of bracha. And you don't have to go out of your way looking for it. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Mereshav Ma'adarner. Rabbi Zeira says, you know, that's so crazy. I used to always look all over for it. I used to always, like, drive people crazy, you know, empty out every drawer. Where's that Havdalah candle? Kivan Shaman al-Had Rabbi Yudah Merav. Once I heard Rabbi Yudah Merav say that it's not necessary, Ananami lo Ma'adarner. So I don't go crazy anymore. Eli Yimikli, Yimel, Mivrichna. If I have a candle, I'll say a bracha on it. So main point number one, Rav holds you don't have to actually benefit from the flame. It just needs to provide the kind of light you could benefit from. And Rava holds you actually have to benefit. So Rav holds you don't have to actually benefit, it just needs to provide the kind of light you could benefit from. And Rava holds you need to actually benefit from it. Then the Mishnah went on to tell us that if a person ate and forgot to bench, and now he's somewhere else. So this was Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You're somewhere else. Beis Shammai says, go back to where you ate and bench there. Beis Hillel says, nah, just bench where you are now. Good enough. You don't need to go back to where you were. So says the Gemara. There it is. Misha Achal. Amar Rav Zvid Vitem Rav Dimi Bar Abba. Machlokes B'shachach. The whole machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is if you forgot to bench. You innocently, you're human. You innocently forgot to bench. Aval b'mezid, but if you purposely didn't bench, you have a bunch of friends sitting around after breakfast and one of them says, hey guys, don't forget to bench. And one of the chevras says, no, I don't do that. And he just leaves without benching on purpose. You know he did it on purpose. Divrei HaKol Yachzor L'Makom V'Yivarech. Everyone would agree he's got to go back to bench. Not good enough to bench where he is. Even Beis Hillel would agree he's got to go back to the place where he ate when he wants to do tshuva. So it says about Pshita. Isn't that obvious that it's only the machlokas is only in the case where he forgot? Because after all, the Mishnah did say that he forgot. So Gemara said, no, ma'uz etema, I might have thought who adin afilu b'mezid. I would have thought that even if he did it purposely, he Beis Hillel would say, you're allowed to bench where you are. I, why did it say v'shachach? Why did k'tani v'shachach? And I would have thought the only reason it said v'shachach, lo diacha kochon de Beis Shammai, to let you know how strongly Beis Shammai holds that you need to go back, that even when it was an innocent mistake, and you just forgot, even then you have to go back. So kamash milan, that's why we need to be told that no, if you did it on purpose, even Beis Hillel would agree, you must go back to where you ate. Tanya, Amar Lo Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. The conversation continued beyond what it said in our Mishnah. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, you guys hold that you got to go back to where you ate? Lid divreichem. Let me ask you something, Beis Hillel said to the Beis Shammai. According to you, Misha Achal Barosh Habira, if you ate at the top of a tall building, Vishachach, and you forgot to bench, Viyarad, you came down all those stairs, Vilo Birech, and you didn't bench, do you realize what an inconvenience that is for people? That they're going to have to go climb up all those stairs, go back up to the top of the building in order to bench? That seems unreasonable, Beis Hillel says to the Beis Shammai. Amar le Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says back to the Beis Hillel, one of the greatest comebacks in all of Shas. L'divreichem, according to you, Beis Hillel, Misha Shachach Arniki Barosh Habira, Lo Yalav Yitlana. What if he had forgotten his wallet at the top of the building? Would he go back and take it? Of course he would. So for his own kavod, for his own wallet, that he has no problem. That he can go back. It's not too much of a tircha. For the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the more so, he could be expected to go back. There were two talmidim. Chad Ovid B'Shogei K'Bei Shammai. One of them followed Beis Shammai's opinion and went all the way back to where he ate, even though it was b'shogeg. He had forgotten, it wasn't on purpose that he didn't bench. And you know what happened? Va'ashkach arnika d'dava. He got lucky enough, he found a golden wallet or something, a pouch of gold. So as a reward for going back and wanting to bench in the place that he ate and going out of his way to do so, he found a patch of gold. V'chad amar, and one of them, in a case where he purposely didn't bench, still didn't go back, and only benched at the spot where he remembered. And a lion ate him. So it didn't end as well for that guy. I mean, he didn't really follow the Shita Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds if it was b'mezid, you got to go back. This guy didn't go back even though it was b'mezid. Rabbi Bar Barchana v'ka'azel b'shayarta. Rabbi Bar Barchana was once traveling on a caravan. He ate, he forgot, he didn't bench. Is this Lashon Hara? The Gemara is allowed to tell us this about Rabbi Bar Barchana? He didn't bench. He forgot. He's human. Omar, he said, Hey Chiyavid, what am I supposed to do? He's traveling with a whole group of people. So, you know, if I tell them, Anshay Levarech, I forgot to bench, you know what they're going to say to me? Amri Li, they're going to say to me, Brich kol heichad mvarachas l'rachman mvarachas. They're going to say to me that we learned when we were kids that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, and Hashem is truly everywhere. And therefore, if you say the bracha right here, I promise Hashem will hear you. So we're not going back. Just say the bracha where you are right now. So he says, I can't give that. I can't say that I have to go back to bench, because that's what they're going to tell me, that Hashem will hear me here. Mutav da'aminilhu anshay yonad dav. I'm much better off telling them that I forgot a golden dove, something of great value. Amr lehu, answered the anshay yonad dav. So he made up a bab maisa. He told them, oh, guys, we got to go back. Why do we have to go back? Because I forgot a golden dove. Oh my gosh, you know how much gold is worth? You know how much a golden dove must be worth? The craftsmanship to make a golden dove? I don't know if that was common, to make golden doves. Azul baruch v'ashkach yonad dav. He went back and he said, and he benched, and guess what? What happened? He actually found a golden dove. God made him a prophet rather than a liar. Maishna Yonah, why a dove? Why would he choose a dove of all things? So Dimitli Knessali Yonah, because the Jewish people are compared to a Yonah. Zichsiv, Kanfe Yonah Nechva Bekasav Avrosa Biyarakya Kharutz. My Yonah Eina Nitzolas El B'Knafel. A dove protects itself with its wings, Rashi says, because when a bigger bird wants to start up with it, it flies away with its wings, or it fights back with its wings. Af Yisrael Eina Nitzolan El B'Mitzvos. The wings of a dove are like mitzvos to the Jewish people. We are saved and protected by our mitzvos. So specifically when it came to doing this mitzvah, Birchas HaMazon, when it was a mitzvah, he said that this is my golden dove. This is my thing of great value that serves as protection for me. So main point number two, if a person didn't bench, bemazed, even Beis Hillel would agree he has to go back to where he ate. Even Beis Hillel agrees he's got to go back to where he ate. Then the Mishnah said, "Ad emasayhu mevarich." How long after eating can you still bench? At what point do you say it's too late? So the Mishnah had said, "Till you digest the food." Says more great. Kamashir equal. How long does that take? Amar Rav Yochanan calls man sheino ra'av. As long as you're not hungry again, and if you're still satiated from the previous meal, you could still bench on that meal. Reish Lakish Amar calls man sheyitzma machmas achilasim. So long as you're still thirsty from the eating that you did in that meal. Amri Rav Yemar Bar Shlami Lamar Zutra, Va'amri Rav Yemar Bar Shizvi Lamar Zutra. Someone said to Mar Zutra, some Rav Yemar said to Mar Zutra, Miyam Reish Lakish Achid, does Reish Lakish really hold that you can only bench so long as you're still thirsty from the meal? Va'amri Rav Amiyam Reish Lakish Kamashiri Kul Kedei Lahalich Arba Milin. I thought Reish Lakish holds that the amount of time that it takes to digest your food is the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil. How long is that?
About
72 minutes. We assume 18 minutes a meal, right? A meal, though, is a lot less than a mile. A meal is alpay mam. Alpay mam is about how many feet?
4,000.
4,000 at most, right? An am is between 18 inches and 24 inches. So at most, it's 4,000 feet. A mile is... Yeah, a meal is 5,200 something. So a meal is closer to a kilometer than it is to a mile. I don't know why it took them 18 minutes to walk it. It's not that far, but okay. So lo kasha. So, but the bottom line is it's stira reish lakish. How long can you still bench? Can you only still bench when you're still thirsty from the meal, from eating the meal, English word, M-E-A-L? Or can you only bench once you've waited the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, Hebrew word, mem yud lamed? So says the Gemara, lo kasha. Kan ba achil meruba, kan ba achil muetas. Depends if you ate a lot or a little. If you ate a lot, you got the 72 minutes. If you ate a little, so it's only so long as you are thirsty. There is a sefer called Omer HaShichcha. Omer with an aleph. Omer HaShichcha. The Omer HaShichcha is a kuntras that collects all the places in Shas that either the Rambam, the Rif, or the Shulchan Aruch forgot to quote halachos. That there are halachos that are explicit in Shas that were forgotten. So Omer, the saying, it's a play on words, because Shichas HaOmer, right? So Omer HaShichcha, the sayings that were forgotten. So he says this was forgotten by the Rambam. The Rambam never discusses how much the shear equal is, and he doesn't know why. He doesn't have a good explanation of why it would, why the Rambam forgets it.
Was Rabbi Yehuda the unique Amora for this Masechta?
What?
Was Rabbi Yehuda the unique Amora?
No, Rabbi Yehuda is all over the place. So we'll see. We're going to have someone else who's very unique. That may be the one. Bolehem Yayin. So we then said that if wine comes at the end of the meal, then we said, and if you hear someone saying a bracha, and you didn't catch the whole bracha, so what did the Mishnah say?
If it's a Jew, then you can't dance Romain, but if
very
it's a
good.
Kuti, you can't.
Excellent. If it's a Jew, you can answer Romain. If it's a Kuti, you cannot, unless you hear the whole bracha. If you don't hear the entire bracha of a Jew, you're allowed to answer Romain. How could you possibly be Yotze with his bracha if you didn't hear his entire bracha? We're assuming that your answering Amen over here is to be Yotze with his bracha. So we're saying, that doesn't work. You can't be Yotze's bracha if you didn't hear it. Samar Chia Barav, B'Shalach Aliman. Who said anything about being Yotze? We're not talking about where you ate with them and you need to bench yourself. No, you just happened to hear him saying a bracha. We're talking about that you didn't eat with them. Amalei Rav L'Chia Barei. Rav advised his son Chia, Bri, Chatov Varich, when they bring out the coast for Birch Samazim, you know, when they start bringing out the benchers, quickly say, Rav Sayin Varech, you know, be the one, grab the coast, lead the benching. It's the best to be the one to lead the benching. Remember, in those days, leading the benching meant you're the only one that actually benched. Everyone else listened and answered Amen. So you want to be that guy. V'cheinam Rav Huna L'Rabba Bre, and Rav Huna advised the same thing to his son Rav, Chatov Varich. Wait, does that mean that it's better to be the guy saying the bracha than the guy that answers Amen to the bracha? I don't know. Vatanya, we have a Bryce that seems to say otherwise. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gadol Ha'ona Amen Yosim Min HaMavarech. That it's better to answer Amen than to say the bracha. And Ramalei Rav Nurai HaShemayim Kenu. Rav Nurai says, by heavens, that's so true, it's better to answer Amen. Teda, and I'll prove it to you. When a military strategist is planning a war, he sends in the Shvacha soldiers first to sort of weaken the enemy army and get themselves killed, and then he sends in the elite units to wipe it up, to finish the job. So the Amen comes last, because that's the elite unit. It's better to be the on the Amen team than on the Bracha team. So it says, so how can you say that it's better chatov varich, that it's better to say your own bracha? It's not. It says Mar Tanaihi. It's actually machlokas tanaim, because it's true. You have a brisa that tells me it's better to answer amen. I got a brisa that says it's better not to. Detanya. Echalam varich vechalam amen b'mashma el shemar l'mevarich yosem in ona amen. That both the mevarich and the ona amen are going to get schar from Hashem, but Hashem is quicker to dole out the schar to the mevarich than he is to the one who answers amen. Actually, we'll do a main point over there. Machlokas, whether it's better to answer Amen or better to be the Mevarech. Machlokas Tanai, whether it's better to answer Amen or better to be the Mevarech. Second very wide line. Boimine Shmuel Merav. Shmuel asked Rav the following. Ma'olanus Amen Achar Tinok Shal Beis Rabba. You know, kids are just learning brachos. They don't really know what they're saying yet, but they're learning the words. And that. So can you answer Amen when a child, a young child, says bracha, a four-year-old says a bracha? Are you allowed to answer Amen? What do you think the halach is in Shulchan Aruch? You would think yes, right? Because everyone does it. If you look in Shulchan Aruch?
Nope.
You're not supposed to.
Teachers, they're racking up the arrows.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Samarlei, achara kol onan Amen chutz b'tinok shal beis rabban. You can answer Amen after anybody, but not after little kids. They're just learning. They don't know what they're talking about. That's only if they're not yet reading the Haftarah. If they're old enough, they're reading the Haftarah, then you're allowed to answer Amen. Kids used to read the Haftarah. They used to be a thing. Tan Rabbanan. Shemen ma'akiv es habracha divrei Rabbi Zilai. Rabbi Zilai says that if you do not yet have oil to wipe on your hands after the meal, they used to have fragrant smelling oil for after Mayim Achronim to wipe on their hands, make their hands smell good. If you do not yet have the oil, don't bench yet. Rabbi Zivai Omer Eino Ma'akev. Rabbi Zivai says, you could bench without it. Rabbi Acha Omer Shemen Tov Ma'akev. If you're used to very good smelling oil, then don't bench without it. Rabbi Zuhumai Omer. Rabbi Zuhumai says, "Kishem shemizuam pasala avoda, kach yadayim zuhamos psul lebracha." Just like a smelly person can't do the avoda, if you have smelly hands, you can't say a bracha. Is it a coincidence that his name is Rabbi Zuhamai, and he's talking about a mizuham and Zohamo? So this happens sometimes in Shas, where it's not really the person's name. It doesn't seem that it's really the person's name. They're called based on the Memer. The Maritz Chayes points this out. He gives like 10 different Mar Makomas in Shas, where you have, I don't think he points it out here, but he points it out in a number of places, where you have people whose names are clearly by not the names
stated
that they're called in the Shas, but by the halacha they stated. Right, exactly. Rabbi Shulman Gamla, other Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rabbi Nachman gives a comments. I never heard of all these guys. I know Lozi Lo'i, Velozi Va'i, Velozu Amai Yadana. He's like, I've never seen any of these guys anywhere else in Shas. El Masisi Yadana. But here's what I do know. I know a Braisa. There's a pasuk that reads in if you read the pasuk, viskadashim yisim kadoshim kikadoshani. So we're going to darshan each phrase in the pasuk. Viskadashtem elumayim rishon viskadishtem. Viskadishtem, yeah. Elu mayim rishonim. That's a reference to mayim rishonim. V'yisim kadoshim, elu mayim achronim. That's a reference to mayim achronim. Ki kadosh, it should be ani probably. Ki kadosh ani, yeah. Ze shemen atov. That's a reference to the good smelling oil. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, zu bracha. So the pasuk is giving us the order of how things are supposed to work. You wash mayim rishonim, then eat. Wash mayim achronim. Put the oil on your hands. And only after the oil is on your hands, you say the bracha. So it sounds like mayim achronim is critical. V'yisim kadoshim is a reference to mayim achronim. Says Tosfos, last Tosfos in the parak. Dafka lahem shayu regilin litol yodeyam achar asu'udam epnei melech sedomis. For them, mayim achronim was critical because they used to have a type of salt that was called melech sedomis. And it was very damaging if it would stay on your hands after the meal was over. You'd rub your eyes or something. It could blind you. Aval anu she'ein melach sedomis matzri b'neinu. We don't have such melach sedomis. Ve'in anu regin lita lachar asuda. So we don't wash our hands after the meal. Ein anu tila makevas aleinu levarich. Therefore, you're allowed to bench without having washed mayim achronim, because we no longer have this melech sedomis. That's the heter that a lot of people use by not washing mayim achronim, right? By the svara being that we don't have the melech sedomis. I'm told, I don't know if it's a true story, but I'm told that when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein went to Harvard for graduate school, he decided to take upon a chumrah, because you're supposed to take a chumrah when you go to a dangerous place. So he thought that it was at least going to be more challenging for him to keep a solid learning schedule while he was in Harvard for graduate school, so he took upon the chumrah of always washing mayim achronim. He also managed to learn 12 hours a day somehow when he was in Harvard, but he always took on that chumrah of washing mayim achronim. But the point of the story is, he thought it was a chumrah. He didn't think that it was a requirement. Mekra did. Hadran alach el dvar mezrachem. Tomorrow we'll begin Daf Nandalad, the ninth and final parak of brachas.